Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kayla Thompson.
My name is Adam Lavaz. Thanks for joining us for episode 68 and in what we would like to call the meat of the reporting time, I suppose, isn't it, mate? You know, I kind of think about the reporting time. Sorry to go straight into a tangent here, but I kind of feel
It's on our mind.
It's a drumstick and you kind of get it and it's got the skin on it and things. And right at the moment, you're kind of biting down into those bits.
A chicken drumstick.
You're trying to get those last bits of chicken off, really. You know, you're enjoying it and... No, sorry, you're not enjoying the reports, but you're trying to get to that bone where you can actually put it down and go, I'm done.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you nibble away on it a lot and take bits here and there, and then you have that time where you sit down and get in a groove and you take like the big part of the meat off there and you have that and you're feeling good, but...
And sometimes you think you're done and then there's that little bit more left.
Yes, or it's caught in your teeth. And it's a real annoyance. Yeah. You know, I think I'm fit. No, I'm not. I've got this one. You've got a bit of editing to do. And I forgot to put this kid in here. And you got the toothpick.
And that bit that gets caught in your teeth, for me, is not necessarily the last bit of reports, but it's when reports are done. And then you've got, you've got to finish off the paperwork for your IEPs and speak to all the parents about those. And then getting the last bit of assessment in, that has to be handed in, all the data. And just those little last little jobs.
And are those jobs that the toothpick can't even get. It's that tongue. You've got to work away at it with your tongue for a couple of hours.
Just we're stretching this analogy.
We are stretching this analogy. I know. It's a minute and a half worth of drumstick analogy. But no. We are right in the middle of reports. And obviously, also, Christmas is not far away, mate. It's obviously the end of November right now, and it's a real transition period, isn't it? Where the kids can almost smell it too. They know kind of reports aren't far away. They know Christmas is not far away, and it just starts to their effort levels and their intensity and things just start to change a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's pros and cons with primary kids at this time of the year. You're right. You're absolutely right. There's the transition stage coming out of assessment and then reports and then getting close to Christmas. I think the pros are that it's a great time to actually develop and work on or finish off really passion-based projects or inquiry projects or stuff that the kids are really keen about. But then the cons on the other side are putting the cue in the rack too early with maybe your literacy and your numeracy, because... Yeah. Break out some of those more sort of fun, busy lessons and the kids will get ratty quickly, won't they?
Yeah, they will, because if you bring them out too early, they get sick of it, and then you've still got a couple of days up your sleeve and you go, what am I going to do with these guys? I've done it too early. So it really is, you've got to balance it out really, really well.
So we've got a few interesting topics tonight. We've also got some responses to some comments that we had in our last episode. Over the coming weeks, I'm sure we'll touch on some of the things mentioned in last week's bulletin to do with the AEU workload statistics.
Definitely.
And also, Adam, we tonight, after we go off air, we're looking at our Christmas episode, aren't we, and what we can pull out of the bag this year.
We are, mate. It's always exciting, and we do get to this time, and it's a little bit up in the air, but things come together very quickly with this one, so we're hoping it does the same this year.
I've sent my letter to Santa. John Pierce.
I hope he's still got his frosty white beard there. So without further ado, mate, let's get into it.
So, Adam, in our last episode, which was 2 weeks ago, we discussed iPads in the junior years, which was a topic that had come up. And we received, as mentioned previously, two fantastic comments on our blog from Claire and also from Michelle. We thank Claire and Michelle for their,
Absolutely.
Their participation and their listening. And we thought, I mentioned this in the bulletin last week, we thought instead of writing back straight away on the blog, we'd discuss it as a topic on the podcast. Mm. Even better.
Absolutely, yeah.
Adam, first want to touch on Claire, one thing that Claire mentioned, and that was the immediacy of using iPads with the junior students. You don't have the booting time of laptops.
Mm.
You don't have the teaching time of teaching them where the power button is, putting in a username and password. I could list a heap of things, couldn't I?
Exactly. And that's where you're coming back to. You're spot on and saying, because that's what Claire mentioned, wasn't it? In prep, she spent over a term trying to teach the students how to log on. And it's a fair comment to say that that's really tough, because a lot of kids there are still learning their alphabet. To get them to try and actually log in and find it on a keyboard would take quite a lot of time. And that's where those iPads are intuitive, and they're the immediacy of them are there. They can literally open it up, click the home, and they're in. And they're in away, and they just off they go. You don't have to waste that time doing it.
Yeah, it's massive. And I think a lot of people would agree that tablet devices, that is their biggest power.
Yeah.
And in the junior years, many of the early years of my career, I remember having that problem, even teaching year three, those laptop skills that they still didn't have. A lot of your lesson would be taken up. And I just gave up sometimes and would just set them all up for them prior to the lesson.
Absolutely.
But I just want to touch on that immediacy with the year threes, because if there is a piece of learning or a resource, if a kid's got a question that's a little bit you know, a little bit taking them in a slightly different direction from the lesson you're doing. Mm. Instead of just, you know, kind of saying, well, you know, we're going to have to go and find this resource. If you can just say, well, you've got a tool in front of you, bang, within 30 seconds max, they're online looking at a YouTube video on how to do something. I don't think you can beat that. And then you can move on to the next point of learning.
It is an absolutely fantastic point, because if you look at the laptops, for example, if you wanted to follow it up, well, they've got to unplug the laptop, go and get it, open it. Unless they've got it in front of themselves. And whereas that iPad, you can literally have it there, flip it open, away you go. I mean, even these days, the way Google's going and things, you can actually, you know, depending on the sort of iPad or tablet that you've got, you can actually hold it down. Like I can with my Android phone and talk to Google and go, so Google, and away you go, and it gives you those answers straight away. I mean, it's inside 20 seconds. It's fantastic.
It really is. And Claire also mentioned doing some research, which she's going to do for next year, about an app list of which are the best apps. And that leads us on to Michelle's comment, Adam, because, excuse me, she was talking about some of the apps that she's using with Foundation after 4 years in grade one. And she, Michelle said that they've got a mix of apps on their devices, both some consuming apps,
yes,
consumption apps, and some are also creative apps. So she mentions Reading Eggs, which we use at our school. And I think she's right. I mean, look, Reading Eggs is a consumption app. There are some grammar games and things that the kids can play. They can accumulate points. But there are some really good texts on there for the kids, and it matches it to their level, a bit like Mathletics, I guess.
Yep.
But it kind of does it automatically after a little pre-assessment on there. But there's also some really good teacher resources on there, some really good mentor texts and things for teaching writing. But then she goes on to saying Pages. So, you know, she talks about, and this is simple stuff really, but I guess for some schools it's probably not so much, but simple stuff, but creative stuff. Using Pages for the kids to create resources to show that they're learning, sending it to the parents. She said at this stage she's had the students just sending their work to her via her email. Now, I get my kids to send it to me via Edmodo sometimes. Yep. If you've got an online learning management system like we've discussed, you know, it's very easy for them to upload that work for parents to see. So there's a lot of benefits there, isn't there?
And you made a really good point there where you said it's simple stuff, but it's creative stuff. I think what we can get sucked into is trying to be too smart, too clever, and trying to go, it's got to be this unbelievable thing.
And why? Trying to do too much too quick.
Exactly. Why? Yeah. Why can't we say, like that reading is, we said a lot of this, you know, those texts and things. I find that there's nothing better than the kids actually just practicing their reading. It doesn't have to, you know, reinvent the atom or be something that no one's ever done for the last 200 years in education. It's just got to get to their point of need and really engage them. And that's where that iPad comes in, with having some simple and creative lessons that just, it can take them so much further than trying to spend months and months and months coming up with this whiz-bang lesson that probably won't hit the mark like you want to anyway.
Yeah, and I really like how Michelle said that sometimes they make just a simple video purely just using the camera on the device about something related to school or their learning. Now, in that case, I assume that Michelle's not necessarily worrying about the whole production of the video or editing and putting it into iMovie. Yes. It's really just filming. I mean, there's so many skills you could practice there, isn't there? It's about speaking and about the position of the camera. And let's not worry about the final product and making it whiz-bang. It's just reflecting.
That's right. How good would it be to actually see the one they did in March compared to one they did in November and see the difference in how better they are in the speaking and the way they hold it and the way they discuss even their learning and things. I mean, you've got it there. There's your proof right there. You know, you don't have to go trawling through their work. You can just go, here's this video, here's this one. You have a bit of a listen, and it's fantastic.
Now, I believe at this stage in my career, I feel that I don't find that there's a real place for laptops so much for the younger students at school, but I know that you think slightly differently, and would you like to share with us those?
Oh, look, it was more so that I think that as they go up through the school, I think there's more of a need for laptops. I think, you know, that particularly the publishing the work and using some of those programs, you know, there's Powtoon out there, there's PowerPoint, you know, all those sorts of things where they can really get creative and show things that are far more intuitive on a laptop. I think, you know, by the time they get to the middle years, you know, at 3, 4, they should have some laptop ability. And by that, I mean, you know, you shouldn't stand up. I don't know if you've had year three this year. You know, you shouldn't be standing up there in, you know, middle of February going, right, we're really going to get into this research and this publishing phase. Can everyone log onto their laptops? And you've got 5, 6 kids putting their hands up going, well, I don't know how to do that. I think there's still a place in prep to two, probably not so much maybe prep, but in the 1-2s of teaching them some basic laptop skills. Yeah. And so they have that knowledge. So when they do go for it and they do use it, you're not spending a lot of time. Like Claire was saying before with the preps, logging them onto laptops, and it took them a lot of time. By the time they get there, they know how to log in, they know how to find, you know, student shared, they know how to, you know, open up certain programs, so you can then go forward and spend your time with their learning.
Yeah, look, I'll play devil's advocate here. What if, though, if a student uses a tablet device all through their primary school years, by the time, let's say, they move to high school and they get a laptop, perhaps we're short selling, for want of a better term, the kids here, that maybe they just have they have those digital skills that they've had since early childhood, and that when they pick up a slightly different device, they will just work out how to do some of those things. Just a question putting out there.
Well, fair enough. That's a fair point, mate. I think more my point is that I think when you get them there and you want to get going in the start of the year, you don't want to be spending your time with these kids logging them on and getting to find it, because what invariably happens is you lose half a lesson. Yeah. Finally, you log them on, right, off you go and find Microsoft Word, and then you're off helping other kids 5 minutes later. I can't find it. There's other kids doing that, and you know, finally they're missing out on some vital things that need to be done. But on the flip side, like you say, should we be teaching the kids more of that problem solving, that more resiliency, to go, well, if you don't know how to do it, ask a friend, play around with it, try and work it out, and before you know it, you've worked it out and you remember it far better than the teacher coming over and doing it for them.
Yeah, I think you need I think that they could learn off other child experts, but I don't think a school should be going out and buying laptops purely just for that kind of stuff.
You know, sure.
I think if you've got iPads, yeah. I don't think you need both, but I think we've raised some interesting points.
It's nice to have
a passionate discussion.
It is, mate. That's what the podcast is for. And look, to Claire and Michelle, thank you both once again for your feedback. We love getting that on the blogs, and we hope that we've hit the mark with you guys, and that both of you continue to hit us up on the blog or Facebook or wherever for some terrific discussion points. Well, the second topic I want to talk about tonight is something that I actually learned off Reddit. I frequent Reddit a lot, and a lot of the subreddits on education, on teaching and things like that. There's a lot of wonderful articles and thoughts and things posted there.
Yeah, look, my experience with Reddit is quite minimal, Adam. Do you jump in there and leave thought-provoking comments yourself?
If you've got the courage to do that, because it can be it depends what subreddit you're on, but there can be some people who'll get stuck into you regardless of your thoughts. But having said that, it's a wonderful place that I follow a lot of subreddits on world news, on science, on all these things, and the latest things that happen in the world come up there all the time. So you've frequently got these wonderful articles from England and America and Canada and all these things. It's a wonderful place. But I came across this one in a subreddit, and it's called, about teaching, called the Everest Syndrome. And the Everest Syndrome refers to the tendency for teachers to simply use technology because it's there. And it really got me thinking, this was late last week, it really got me thinking about coming on from the iPads. I think this leads in really well, that oftentimes schools get really excited about technology and they look at their budgets and let's buy more of this and let's buy more of that, but there's no actual forward thinking about it. They kind of go, well, technology is the in thing, it's the big thing, let's just get more of it, let's get more of it, more pour it into the school. And then you've got teachers going, hold on a second, all of a sudden I've got a bank of laptops in my classroom, I better use them. People are expecting me to use them, so I better just use them. Everyone just get them out and write something in Word. So it refers to that syndrome of teachers, having the technology and just deciding to use it. And I think a lot of schools these days could feel a bit guilty of doing that exact thing. Would you agree with that, Rick?
I think it's been there in the past. I think a lot of people who are listening who have been teaching for the last 10 years might be nodding their heads. You may have worked at a school even that has done that. I think if we go back to around 2007, 2008, when Kevin Rudd and the Labor government got into power, there was the putting a laptop in every child's hand. And I think John Pearce touched on it in an earlier podcast too. It was a real big thing. And I think a lot of schools went out and bought MacBooks netbooks, and there wasn't. I'm not sure if there was a lot of pedagogy and planning behind it at first. I'm sure some schools did.
Well, that's what I want to touch on, because you remember in 2010, you were working, I was in 5-6 then, and you were in 5-6 as well, when they had that laptop program. They had the trial where every kid got one, and there was this tiny laptop.
The netbook.
Yeah, the netbook one, and that they could actually take home, which was terrible from the start, because you got them in February and they were stuffed by April, because they kept taking home and putting music and games on it. But we weren't given any planning, we weren't given any, as you said, pedagogy or any of that sort of stuff to actually understand how to use them. And they were just there, and you kind of go, well, we haven't used them for a couple of days, how about you just type that thing up on Word? How about we deal with this? And that was never the intention, that's never how we should be using them. But as teachers, we had that syndrome in a way, that Everest syndrome, that we felt we've got them, we better use them, even though we really had at the time no idea how to implement them effectively.
But I even think, there'd be a lot of schools that would have got them and not really used them much at all, and wouldn't have been saying, oh, we've got the technology, let's use it. I think there would have been some, I know that there's a lot, some teachers, if it's not being pushed by leadership, will just sort of leave it by the wayside quietly and leave it up to the IT guy or the IT
girl. Do you think that's harder to get away with now? I think it's harder for...
I think it depends on the leadership of the school and depends on the parents and the community and how much it's valued.
Yes.
I think if it's valued by leadership, you can't get away with it.
Yeah, no, I think so
shouldn't
too.
Shouldn't be able to get away with it. Although, but then again, saying that, you know, look, there's some areas of the school that I work in that, you know, we can always improve on, and that's not dissing it, even though it's the BYOD program is valued.
And do you think, going with this as well, that some schools buy and get into technology and buy things without first consulting the school in terms of even the staff and things first about necessarily what is the most appropriate thing to have? Do you think that happens sometimes? And I want to come back to a comment just before you comment on it as well about that, because someone left a comment about it as if they were in a school and how the administration, you know, the leadership there have gone.
They were kind of writing it like possible things that have been said.
Saying that, you know, the administration is saying, let's buy all the students iPads. iPads are really cool. My grandkid uses one. I haven't taught a class for 30 years, but as head of admin, you know, I really believe it's good. And then a couple of pretend comments from staff saying, you know, I teach English and I'm not sure iPads really the best device for 16-year-olds to write essays on, or in arts and crafts we'd much rather have computers so we could teach Photoshop and proper video editing, etc. And then it's superseded at the end by this, you know, in caps, just, you know, admin screaming, iPads for everyone, we're using our entire IT budget to buy iPads this year, we're so good with technology and forward thinking, and not actually listening to the feedback from the teachers, but just going, no, iPads are the in thing, let's just buy them, we'll stick them in the school, and that will almost solve the problem. But it almost causes more problems than it solves.
I think it does, and I think a good purchase of technology for schools has to begin with a team, you know, and I think you need to liaise with a lot of people. Mm. I think obviously parents have to be on board. Leadership, there has to be based on research as well, and then you need to liaise with perhaps one or two teachers or specialists in the school who do have a passion and knowledge. Then you've got the tech, and I'm talking about, I guess, our government schools here. Mm. You need the technicians involved to a degree as well, and I think you can't get away with it these days, and I think a lot of prins nowadays in 2016 would not. Probably aren't so much just going to buy the technology. I think we've moved on from that whole excitement about having it.
I think so.
But getting back to your initial question, I still probably think there are probably some banks of devices, whatever kind, sitting in some schools, gathering some cobwebs around the state.
I think you may be right. And just to finish, mate, I think coming back to that one about not being able to get away with it, the pressure is slightly on for those who don't use it. The digital curriculum is here. That's in Victoria. Mm. For those that's part of our curriculum now. There's no escaping it, no getting over it. Having said that, there are still people out there who can be kind of put off and a bit scared about using technology. But it's up to those in the school, and I want to throw that out there to them, who are confident in using them, not to sit back and go, well, they're not using it. Ah, you should be. Lead them. Get on the front foot and actually grab them by the hand and lead them through and go, no, you can do this. Mm. And here's some planning and here's some ideas about how you can implement it in so you can reach this curriculum and you can use the technology in our school in such an effective way.
Well, like what we talked about in the previous segment, sometimes the small things, you know, the small steps can actually be some of the most powerful ones.
That's right.
So if you've got any experiences about any of the stuff we've talked about, again, with having technology in your classroom, please share. Well, Adam, tomorrow, Friday, for Australian Rules football fans, it's the national draft for players and for new players. And in schools, current drafts going on at the moment. I think we've mentioned this before. The 2017 class placements for teachers is kind of on probably in most schools at the moment.
Yep.
Employment opportunities, whatever. Lots of gossip around staff.
Oh, there is, isn't there?
Where are you next year? Where are you?
All that one, and their hushed tones, going like,
hushed.
Where do you think? Where do you think you'll be next year? Do you really think you'll be
here?
I'm convinced such and such will be here, and off some you of the go.
Absolutely, it's some of the common places to talk. I've seen people milling at pigeonholes.
Yes, you know, pigeonholes, or just quietly off to the side of the staff room, or at the end of the staff room table. We've got a long table, and someone sits there next to you and go, do you hear about such and such? I think they're going to 5-6 or something like that, and then away you go. And almost to the point where the discussions, where someone has almost ended up in a year level by proxy, because a whole heap of people have assumed, and it's kind of gathered legs.
Yeah.
And that person is like going, hang on, what? I'm going to 3-4. Actually, I'm going to 5-6, you know? And where'd you hear that from? And off it goes.
And interesting, you mentioned, I know in our planning for this episode, you mentioned actually the making of the 2017 classes in terms of the students. And I know that we, over the last week in our meetings, have actually started that job.
Yeah, so we have too.
Us year three teachers have been working on the year four classes. And I'm really, really proud of the work that we've been doing. As, you know, we're obviously trying to cover lots of bases.
Of course.
And I know you talked about how, you know, some teachers may, stack their class if they know it's going to be their class in their favour. Now, obviously, we can't do that, because, well, we actually don't know where we are yet, but we assume we're not going to be in grade four, but who knows, you know? But the interesting thing is, I was talking to someone in leadership not too long ago about that very fact, and they said, you'd be very surprised that in my experience, people have certainly moved a few student names around just to pop them into their
class,
you know, like maybe moving the A student or the you know, the very quiet, easygoing students, you know, just, apparently, and I can imagine it happening.
Yeah, I absolutely can imagine.
Particularly in the old days.
And what you mentioned there, we're our school's the same, that we've sort of done our classes tentatively. No one knows what they're teaching though. So no one knows where they are, so they can't go stack their class, and really it is, you've really got to look at the kids. I love that, because it's not about us. We should be able to teach anybody. Mm. We should be able to get any class. Okay, you have your good years, you have your tough years. We should be able to get anything. And you shouldn't be looking at stacking class in your favour and not taking the kids into account. You should be looking at the whole cohort and going, how can we best support our students and put them in a learning environment that's going to be best for them?
Because what about students, say, who require lots of support? You know, I've known some over the years, sometimes maybe a small pot of students have been put into one class because they think it might be easier for them all to learn, and they think perhaps that teacher is going to work really, really well with them. Now, I disagree with that. I think once we cross that line, we are professionals, and you should be able to work with the help of your team, the class that you are given.
Yeah,
obviously,
you're
going to get some challenges, but we are professionals. Yep. I don't think someone should be given an unfair class of, you know, tough kids just because they've got a good track record of working with tough kids.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think individual placements are okay. Yep. There might be one student who, you know, they think, look, I think they're going to work really well with that.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't think clusters of kids is fair.
And I think schools are becoming more strategic, particularly using the ES staff in their school. I know that in some of your levels for us, you know, there's a couple in there, and it's been strategic about, well, we're not going to put them all in one class, but, you know, we've got some rooms that are next door to each other. Could we kind of spread them out a little bit lightly? But that aid is within both areas there and can kind of bring together more often and work in smaller groups. You can plan for those sorts of things. Whereas, but when they're not there, you know, you don't have a class of five or six. You've only got, you know, sort of two or three. Because for people out there that are listening that aren't teachers, it is tough. And what you've got to realize is you might have a class of 23. You have to give equal time. Mm. And some of those other kids that do require further support do take up that time at the detriment sometimes to the other students. And you really need to take that into account. It's really quite hard.
Yeah, you do. And you touched on an important one there just to finish off. And for our interstate and international listeners, ES staff, meaning education support staff, integration aides and those sort of people. So I guess if you're listening and you're a Victorian teacher, in fact, if you're a teacher anywhere across Australia, right now, 2017 classes and teachers are being allocated. So share us your... maybe not share us your gossip, because we probably don't need to hear that, but share
we'll
us your details.
We'll stick the gossip on the blog if they're lucky. So, and make sure you're tuning in tomorrow night to the NAB AFL Draft Mate. It's a Melbourne supporter. It's the first draft in a decade that I don't care about. All right, RKT, it is anecdote time.
All right, Adam, anecdote time. I'm going back to a topic that we've talked about in the past, and that's breaking wind in the classroom. I'm going to get straight to the point.
Straight to the point.
As students do, Adam, when they break wind, it's straight to the point. So the other day, and obviously for privacy reasons, I won't name any names here, but the other day I was roving. We had, it was a maths lesson, and I was really happy with it. It was a great maths lesson. Great in the way that it's messy. You know? There was stuff going on everywhere, and there was a group of boys working on the floor. They were trying to work out a bit of a brain teaser problem that I'd given them. And anyway, I'm going to cut to the chase here. I heard the inevitable and well-known sound of a fart, it was a carpet-based fart, and I knew the boys, because I was actually speaking to them, three boys, I was standing over them, and bang, I just knew who it was this particular boy, just did it, and the other two kind of sniggered, like, mildly, and then moved on. I mean, farts are old school now, they're just not, and I said to this boy, you know, I won't say his name, I said, you know, so-and-so, that was you. And he goes, yeah. And that was it.
I went, okay.
And I felt like saying, so farts are just, you know, run-of-the-mill now.
It's acceptable,
you know?
Isn't it, now in the classroom?
couldn't you have at least just walked out the door for 10 seconds?
But particularly year three boys, you think year three boys dropping a fart that you can actually hear would set them off. That'd be gone for 10 minutes. It'd be so hard to bring back, because they go, so what we need to do, and they start laughing all the time. And
no, this was just like...
it's kind of disappointing.
This was like they just, you know, cut to the quickest commercial break of all time, and then they were back for the next segment. You know, it was just unbelievable.
Well,
stuff.
It's funny you bring that. I'm so
have
glad
you
brought
noticed
that up.
A changing of the guard in this one?
Well, I've noticed a different sort of changing in the guard. I want to bring it up. Last Friday, we had our grade 2 sleepover, and it was during the day, and we were out sort of doing a bit of sport. And
that's a big effort.
It is a big effort, and we had all the kids outside to play a couple of sort of rotation games, and they're all sitting along the cricket pitch. And I was sort of talking about you know the game Ship Shark Shore. It's that one where you go, captain's coming, and they've got to do that sort of stuff. Anyway, and we're playing that one. And as I was actually explaining the game, I was standing in front of a few kids and sort of walking up and down the line to talk about it. I said, "So what we're going to do is," and as I paused, a grade 2 girl, obviously couldn't be out of her, went farted and. It was far louder than it could have been because it was on the concrete of the cricket pitch. And I tell you what, that girl looked at me and went red. And she the kids kind of moved away. And I had to try and save it because I didn't want her to be embarrassed. And I'm going, such and such. If that was me, I would have been proud with that. So well done. And I kind of had to try and make her feel like it was...
You actually said
really
that.
I actually said that because I wanted her to feel like that's okay. Like I didn't, because the poor girl was red in the face and embarrassed, and I didn't want her to feel any worse. I kind of want to say, that's all right, and that's so. Because
you didn't generate.
What else could you do?
You didn't generate a round of applause after that, Adam. Or
anything, I tried, but I didn't want to look at her and go, that's disgusting, because she already knew. She didn't mean it, and I didn't want to make it any worse. So I had to kind of try and save the situation by going, I would have been proud of that. That was me. I would have been proud of that.
So she went home and said, the grade 2 sleeper, Mr. Lavaz, he's very proud of his farts, mum.
Yeah, very, very proud of him. Because I tell you what, it was huge. And because it was on the cricket pitch, it kind of echoed.
Yes, it would have.
It wasn't on the grass where the grass would have muffled it. Why are we going into this sort of discussion? Let's leave it there. But you know what I mean. But yeah.
And for, look,
changing the game. It was a girl too, so that was what I was surprised about.
Yeah, well, that happens much more.
They don't fart. Girls often, don't fart, do they?
Well, anyway, in wrapping up, if you believe that we're onto something here with the changing of the guard, that, you know, making those sorts of noises in class is not so much of a stretch anymore and not a shock, please let us know.
Well, mate, that brings an end to episode 68, and we are looking ahead a little bit to the end of the year, and we kind of believe we've got probably 3 episodes left. We're aiming for 3 episodes, and one of those episodes obviously will be the lengthier Christmas episode, and we're kind of going to throw a few things out to our listeners, aren't we, mate?
Well, we are, and we can't believe how quick December's come around, for one, but we always like to do a slightly extended episode, and we would like some special guests. We've got a couple of things in the pipeline, but as always, or as we have done over the last few months, we'd like to put it out there. If you've got an anecdote you'd like to share with us, we'd love an audio recording, but if you're not comfortable with that, even just some text would be fine.
Yep.
If you'd like to be a guest and you think you'd have some time in that final week of term, although it's not really our final week, but our last episode will be in that final full week.
Yes.
For Victorian teachers. If you've got some time, you'd like to Skype in, get in touch with us.
Yeah, definitely.
But we do look forward to it. And certainly if you've got any topic ideas, particularly at this sort of festive time of the year, you might have something that really suits this time of the year, Adam.
Yeah, absolutely. So from me, Adam Lavaz.
Me, Rick Kayla Thompson. And we've both been 2 regular teachers.